I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Better Podcasting Podcast. I'm Stephen John Drew, and with me today is Stargate Pioneer.
How can you not get jazzed up for better podcasting while listening to that? That is awesome. I love that music.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about it before. We tend to record this on a Friday. I love that music on a Friday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, whatever. But I most importantly love it on a Friday as we're about to record because I love it. It's fun.
It is. And we're 16. We can drive now. Let's go out and party. Woo!
So when we get to like legal drinking age, are we using the Canadian 19 or are we using the American 21? Like, where are we going with that?
Well, you know, since I'm well above double of whatever that is, I think we're cool to celebrate whatever you want to. And I might have a little sip of something and hopefully I won't end up going to the hospital. Because for those of you listening to Better Podcasting or watching Better Podcasting, you don't know, I've recently found out that, yes, I am allergic to alcohol. It does nasty things to me. It's not just a hangover, folks. I end up breaking out and have problems breathing and that sort of stuff. So I cannot imbibe. I have nothing against alcohol. I cannot imbibe. So all I have for my fun is better podcasting. Woohoo!
I have a similar condition. You know how you said you break out when you have alcohol? I break dance when I have alcohol.
Yeah. And then you have to break out of the prison that you exactly. put yourself in.
Exactly. By the way, if you've noticed, we're especially chipper this week, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why, and I want to apologize sincerely to the listener last week, because SP and I clearly both were getting over colds, because I don't know how many times it sounded like we were 14 years old, or our voices are getting all raspy and like half cracky. It was, oh man, both of us were getting over colds, and it showed in the podcast last week.
My voice just dropped. It came out of nowhere. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? Yeah. And there was some editing. We did take some of that out. So might have not have noticed me go in the middle of saying something. It was great. So thank you for doing that, Stephen. Thank you for the listener for doing that. So they didn't have to put up with that.
Absolutely. Now, today we are going to continue with our video arc, which we will get to in a minute. It will be the third installment, the third of four in our video arc. As we mentioned previously, we are in the process of covering all sorts of different thing video. But before we get there, we want to remind you of a beloved contest that we've got going on for a giveaway of a brand new Audio-Technica ATR2100-USB microphone. That is the model number. If you look it up on the Audio-Technica website, it actually says Audio-Technica ATR2100-USB. But the good news is for you, it is a combination USB and XLR microphone, even though the model number has a dash USB in it. So
it's slash on the package. You just saw it on the YouTube. I pointed it out. It's USB slash XLR on the package. Although I will concede that it is dash on the website. So whoever is coding the website got it wrong.
Exactly. But putting that aside, we are definitely giving this away, and you can enter by emailing to contest@betterpodcasting.com. Tell us why you want the microphone. Doesn't matter your reason. Just tell us what it is, and we will absolutely put you in the draw, and we're running this contest till the end of February 2016, and after we get all the entries in, we will do a draw, and somebody will win that brand new Audio-Technica ATR-2100, and I want to highlight this. It's been a while since we've highlighted this, and every week we get new listeners. This is not a sponsored contest by Audio-Technica. This is something that SP and I wanted to do because we do really like that microphone that much. We think it's a very, very versatile microphone. Last week, I ended up going for a business trip out of town. I took it with me, and I didn't get a chance to podcast, but I had full confidence that I would have sounded great if I did decide to podcast. So really, really good microphone, and that's why we wanted to give it away.
I've taken out the cousin of the ATR-2100. You saw it on a past Better Podcasting that I actually used it on the plane. It is a great microphone, the AT-2005, the AT-20, which Steven is holding up right now. The ATR-2100 is this. It sounds the same. It is the same electronics. It just looks a little bit different. So, and plus this has an unlimited warranty. So, this is a great microphone, wholeheartedly endorsed by both of us, and we are giving it away for free. This is from us. This is not from Audio-Technica, and we want you to have it. And by the way, tell us if you have a podcast going on right now, tell us what that is, or tell us what your idea is. And if you don't want it out to everybody, don't worry. We won't, give away your idea, but, just tell us why you want it and what you're what your plans are to use it, because we really would like to give this away to somebody that's really going to use it. So we are really looking forward to that. It'll be this podcast. Next podcast will be our last one that we tout the contest. And then after that, we will be giving it away. So if you've already entered, just hold on a couple more weeks and it'll be out.
And we will definitely accept submissions up to February 29th. We gave them a bonus day this year. We rearranged the calendar just for you.
Just for you.
February 29th, 2016. So even if you listen to the podcast and it's like, oh my God, there's one day left, I haven't entered, just do it. Just send us an entry and we will definitely get you in to the draw. But let's go ahead and move on to the video arc. And we warned you last week, we're going to get really technical because today we are going to cover the complicated method of doing video.
Very, very complicated. Steven worked hard to get this right. Worked for months. And I'm not joking. We worked for months. This podcast took 10 months to release, not just because we came up with the idea, but because we had to work through the technical hurdles and both of us lost major parts of our rig in the process. So it took 10 months to put this together. Will it take 10 months for you to put together? No, because we're going to tell you how to do it.
Alrighty, as SP said, I spent a long time trying to get this method to work, and I want to go and preface this entire segment. This is the complicated method that I use, and there are many other similar sort of methods and ones that are a hell of a lot more advanced than what I do. So we just wanted to talk about the one that we have experience with because we are hobby podcasters, and this is a method that has proven to be within reach of us who are hobby podcasters.
Now, a little bit was because Steven actually had the ability to multi-track sound before we went into this. So that was, I would agree, Steven, that was a baby step. Wouldn't you agree to that?
I agree. And it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. If you have a crew that really doesn't talk over each other, you don't really need to multi-track. And I'll get there in a bit. I'll get there in a little bit. But I'm just going to start at the very basics here. The way that we do this podcast is we use a combination of Skype and a program called XSplit. Now, what is XSplit? XSplit is a program that allows you to run a video switcher. So essentially, you compile what it is that you want to have put out to a final video stream. Now, that can be a stream out to YouTube, that can be a stream out to a variety of different places, or it can just be a compiled file to your computer. So with us, what we chose to do, because we really like the quality of Skype, we ended up deciding that we are going to primarily use Skype to communicate because it was a very good balance of video quality and audio quality. And audio quality is something that while we do in the process of doing this podcast, and I'm also talking a little bit about the GunnaGeek.com podcast, because that's another one that I do a video show for, we end up all doing the double ending recording. Now, what that is everybody all records their track locally, and you compile it when you are editing the podcast or the video, whatever it is. You end up compiling everybody's local tracks so you get the best quality possible. Now, we stream out the GunnaGeek.com podcast, and one day we will stream out live this. So we wanted to have a good balance of video and audio, because you won't get that local track until post-production. So we want to be able to offer a reasonable live experience. Plus, most importantly, if something goes wrong with that local track, there is a half-decent quality backup somewhere along the way. Now, how does this work? I touched on it before. Essentially, the way that Skype works is, in order to have multiple sessions captured by this program of XSplit. So right now, if you are looking at YouTube, you would see a picture of SP and myself. Now, I'm going to go and switch it over here to SP and me and a session of SP's gear. So right now on the screen, you've got three windows. SP is coming to me. He's sending me two different video feeds. One is of him from the front. One is of him over the shoulder showing his gear. So what has to happen in order for me to actually show all of these on screen? I need to get two Skype connections from SP. So we're going to use our imagination. We're going to pretend that this is a Gunna Geek podcast, and the over the shoulder is actually Chris Farrell, who was on the show a couple episodes ago.
That's usually where he is anyway. He's peering right over my... Exactly. He's a creeper.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've got these multiple sessions coming into my house, and I need to be able to capture them, tell this program called XSplit, in order to capture these windows separately. Now, the unfortunate thing about it is you actually have to have it on a separate Windows desktop. So essentially, you can't just layer the Skype connections. That's how I originally want it, where I would just have one window and everybody's all layered and tell XSplit, capture SP, capture Chris, capture that. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to separate them out. So now I'm going to flip over to a shot that actually shows what I've got going on right now, which is my over the shoulder. And I'm sorry, just with the lighting conditions, it is a little bit washed out, but you'll be able to make it out. You'll see that I have four windows going on. On my there's four windows, essentially two on the top, two on the bottom. On the first one here, which is the bottom left, is my main window, and I'll show you an actual capture in a minute, but it is essentially running XSplit as well as my show notes. So it's got both of those there. On the right, the lower right, you can actually ignore that. That's just a backup recorder, and I'm actually just going to shut that off just for illustration purposes, because this is complicated and I want to make it as easy as possible. So pretend that monitor doesn't exist, because I don't really need it in the setup that I've got going on right now. If you look at my top left monitor, you're going to see that SP is up in the top left monitor right now. And then on the right is the over-the-shoulder shot of SP. So I've got three windows. We'll ignore that fourth. We've got three windows going. One is my main control of the computer. The other is SP via Skype full screen. And the third is SP over-the-shoulder, which we're pretending to be Chris on the other. So two different Skype sessions running on three different monitors. So how do you put it all together? Well, if we look at the actual XSplit capture right now, you're going to see that this is what the program of XSplit looks like. Now, you're going to see there's actually a Better Podcasting logo over that. However, the reason that I've got that there is just because it does loop back if you show a capture of a capture of a capture of a capture. So I've just got it there for visual purposes. And you're going to see that in XSplit, you can go and tell it, what are you capturing? So right now, you'll see that if I scroll down, there's desktop one. I'm telling it to capture desktop one, which is the window of XSplit. Then there's a bunch of different other options where you can say, all right, I want to capture SP, or I want to capture SP number two, which is Chris. Or then you can go, by the way, audio listener, SP is holding up the Audio-Technica ATR2100, which you can definitely enter by emailing contest at betterpodcasting.com. And then you'll see that I've got a little layer, which is where I end up overlaying the little visual. Now, why is that? Audio listener, you're not going to see this, but The reason I have the overlay on there is because what you may not realize about Skype is it actually previews back to the user in the lower right corner the screen capture. So you get this little preview window, which is, to me, ugly. I don't like seeing it, so I put an overlay over it. It themes the video, makes it look all better podcasting-y, and it also covers that overlay. And then you can go in and set up the configuration however you want. If you just had a couple of people, you would have a lot less options, but essentially this program called XSplit is how you end up building everything together. So you've got all these different options, and you compile it, and you can actually physically move them around and end up configuring the visual however you want. So I just wanted to show it on the video side of things so that you could see a little bit about what XSplit does and the reference point. So that's your first step. You get the Skype, you get the XSplit, you put it all together in whatever format you want. You could have three people, you could have four, you could put in logos, you could put in video if you want. You can do a variety of different things within this program called XSplit. And why I chose XSplit is because XSplit is a subscription model. There are some really other great programs like vMix and VidBlaster, variety of different things. But for me, as a hobby podcaster, I wanted something that I didn't have to shell out hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And this works for me. It's a good balance of price and features. And best of all, it's subscription, so I don't need to fork it out all at one time. I did because you got a price break, but originally I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah, so I use Manicam, as we discussed last week, for my Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. blabs and my Starling Tribune blabs. But that is simply to show a logo in the fourth quadrant on blab. That's all that is. It's to watermark it, and it's to brand the video for anybody that happens to come through Blab and they see, oh, wow, what is this? And they clearly can tell it is Starling Tribune or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is a very simple program. It cannot combine video the way that XSplit or vMix or VidBlaster can do. So those are more advanced. And a lot of gamers have used a couple of those programs like XSplit and vMix to stream their video games or capture their video games so that they can throw it on YouTube later as well. So it is a very versatile program. It's been around for a while. It has been upgraded over time. I have used the free version very briefly just to try to see what's going on. And then I've also used a open broadcast software program to do screen captures to make videos, instructional videos for other Gonna Geek Network members on how to edit a little bit better or how to enter into Blab or stuff like that. So there is a variety of different programs, yes, available, but we did some research and the two that we would recommend the most right now in the early part of 2016, if you wanted to look into them, which is XSplit and vMix, but we're not saying those are the only two options available.
No. So I know I got really technical about XSplit, but, and it might've been a little hard to follow there for the audio listener, but I wanted to go over it really quickly to set it up here for the video viewer as well. You can go over there if you want to hop over and see what I was showing you there. So essentially think of XSplit as the thing that allows you to set up the visual that you want. Now there's another side of things when you get complicated and you get multiple Skype sessions, it's audio. Because what you need to realize is that every sound card that you, every session of Skype that you have going is going to need a separate sound card. Now, why is that? Because here's the thing. If SP is connected with Chris on separate Skype sessions, you have to be able to send back the audio to the individual, but without their track. Because if I took SP coming into my house and I sent everybody mixed together through an audio mixer and I sent it back to SP, he's going to get an echo of himself and there's a delay. So that's going to get really annoying really quick. I actually don't think you'd be able to podcast doing it. You would talk like this. It's really, really bad when it happens. You kind of trip over yourself. So you have to be able to remove that individual. And that's where you get into audio mixers. We talked a little bit about it in the previous hardware arc. If you have any questions about audio mixers, reach out to us. But essentially, you need to have an audio mixer to do what I'm doing, because that's the other component, is separating the audio tracks so that you're only sending back to the person what everything except for them. So,
yeah, okay.
Do you have a better way to describe it? Go ahead, SP.
Two quick things. First of all, what you see from me right now is actually through multiple computers. I have three computers that are actively working now, and I could probably use some of my mobile devices as well. But my main computer is capturing what you see right now, which is my frontal face. It's the front-looking camera. The other camera that you saw earlier was a side-looking camera, and that is actually going out through my older laptop, and that is, you see it on, we're showing on YouTube the three split screen, and the second camera is going through the third laptop. The second laptop, or the first laptop, is really where I should be capturing it, but we're not doing that right now. And so I have three cameras available to me, and it's three separate computers. I'm not actually, because we ran into some driver issues because they're all running Windows 8 or Windows 7, and they're all Logitech C920s, and we've run into some driver issues before. Steven's found a way around that, but you still can't, it's funky how you control the cameras and that sort of thing. So the way Steven does it, you have to go through the same computer. So all of his cameras that you just saw were through his one computer. It's streams that are going through his computers. It's separate sessions of Skype. It's separate cameras that are running on his main computer. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say is he's saying you need multiple sound cards. Yes, you do. What is a sound card? Let's define a sound card. So a sound card is either the main audio off your motherboard. It is a PCMI card that's actually in that you insert into the motherboard itself, or it is a USB audio interface like a Griffin iMic or a Behringer UCA 202 or 222. So that's the sort of thing that we're talking about for a sound card. Basically, my mixer, and Steven is holding up his Griffin, his coveted, by the way, I might add, Griffin iMic that he got for Christmas. The mixer that I use, the Mackie Pro FX 16V2, that is basically going into the computer as a sound card because it's going in USB. If you have a Zoom H5 or H6 that is you're using as an audio interface to go into your computer, that is a sound card. So that is the three types of sound card: a USB into the computer, a actual physical card that is plugged into your motherboard,
PCI and then
your
card.
PCI card, or a motherboard has on what is called onboard sound. Mm-hmm. So that is what we're talking about with sound cards.
Yeah, great point, SB. Great point. And that's something that essentially you need a way to send the audio out. So I know I'm going to say it, I'm going to keep saying it through this. We're getting really technical, but people are asking, so there's no other way to do this episode but get technical. So you've got your XSplit, you've got your multiple windows, which, by the way, I should pause here and highlight for a second. Although I have these different screens, it isn't necessarily something that I would actually have to do all of them. You can get a little creative. Most monitors have DVI and VGA or VGA and HDMI. That is a type of connection. If you've ever looked at the back of your monitor, often the DVI is white, and then the VGA is blue. So you can usually, if I wanted to, I could have these four screens that you see going right now. I wouldn't see them all at one time, but I could do it through two monitors. So you can get a little creative. Once again, if you have questions about how to do that, email me, I'll tell you. So you've got your different screens, you've got your different sound cards. What else do you need to do next? Well, if you just want to go and you don't want to do the local or the double ending, and you want to just use the mix recording that you're getting as the camera controller, like right now, if I wanted to just use the audio that I am getting from SP now and not use him locally, I'd be pretty set because the XSplit is going to put the audio into a video file that I think it's about 128, might be 192. So not the highest quality in the world, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And then I could take that audio and I could go and I could use that to put out my podcast and I could edit that video and away I go. I'd be pretty set. But we're going to get into how we do it. So let's move on past that. As I mentioned, SP and I do double end. So what happens next? It's just a matter of SP, send me my recording. I'll drop it into the video editing software. I'll line it up and away we go. Right, SP?
Yeah, that works every single time. It really does.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, so it does not.
I'm going to play a little clip here, and audio listener, you'll be able to follow along here. What I've done in this clip here is I took from that first episode of our video arc, I've taken the video, and I've synced up our local tracks. So there was myself, there was Chris, and there was SP. And you're going to hear at the very beginning, it's slightly out of sync. Now, I've done that to purposely to show you that there are two audio tracks going. The one audio track that came from the video that XSplit produced for me at the end. And then the other tracks were everybody's local tracks. So the one that I recorded using my Cakewalk recorder, or the one that SP did using his Zoom, and the one that Chris did using his Tascam. So I've put those on there. You're going to hear about 40 seconds of that. And then you're going to go to the very end. So I just skipped to the end and took the section, and you're going to hear it fall out of sync. So I want to do this so that you can have a reference point here on why it becomes a problem when you do a video podcast and you want to use external sound sources. So I'm just going to go ahead and play it here, and we'll return in a moment.
You don't want to hear me singing anything at all, really.
Well, if you have thought to yourself lately, SP and Steven, you guys are phenomenal, but I really miss that episode that you guys did with Chris Farrell. You're in luck, because tonight, Chris will be joining us on this show and this evening's or today's podcast. Everybody say hi to Chris. Wait,
hi, Chris.
I was going to say they can't say hi. We'll wait another 4 weeks for people to email you, Chris. Chris, say hello to the audience.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back. And SP, I guess if you're not superstitious, I can tell you I've been working on my Stargate Pioneer voodoo doll right now, and I might have been stabbing it earlier.
So Chris has been using the term elusive solo podcast for a while. I think he needs to transition into successful solo podcast for a while. Because
it's too much pressure. Certainly,
I love listening. It's like my number one podcast. If it's a new one, I make sure I listen to it. Or watch it in the case of the special one that was just out. But I make sure it's the first one that I listen to if it is on my iPod unlistened.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been a project that's been in the works for a long time, and I think I talked about last show. There's many early iterations of Nerd Alert News or other solo casts I looked into that will never see the light of day because the format and the formula just didn't work. So I'm glad to hear that it is working right now.
For sure. And listeners, you can find that at nerdalertnews.com or over on GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
That digital drift is such a wonderful thing. Listener, viewer, that was not a special effect. That was actually two sound files laid over each other. So that was not reverb or any sort of thing from the mixer or from the audio program. That was literally two separate audio tracks that were becoming more and more and more on sync. And so that's what you heard. If you're listening to the podcast, you're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that I want to point out is that what you're going to see on screen is you're going to see the audio go out of the sync with the mouth. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a digital drift, not only just in the audio itself, but you're going to have it on the video portion as well.
Exactly. And I was toying with that idea of showing it falling out of sync, but the thing is then the audio listener couldn't hear it. So that's why I went with that route. So that was just to illustrate the problem you might find using two different sound sources. So how do you combat that? Because we do that. SP, by the way, on screen is making a fight symbol, and he drew me right into doing it. But what do you do? Well, there's a couple different methods, but primarily you give yourself a headache, because what you're going to do is you have to go and now dice up and manually sync up those individual local audio tracks to match the video. And you're not going to do it in something like Windows Movie Maker. You're going to be looking at something like Sony Vegas or Premiere. You're going to be looking at something a little more advanced. So maybe you want to do that. You know, the reason I do it, it was a passion of mine. I like video stuff. Maybe it's the same for you. So then you have to go through and manually sync it up. Now, there is a little bit of a cheat depending on how far they fall out of sync. If you go back and listen to that clip, it's actually not a huge, huge amount. And on my track there, mine was actually extra out, and there was a reason for it. Partway through, it ended up kind of blipping a little bit. But that's not usually how far out I am at the end. But what you could do is you could essentially adjust the speed of the audio to match, because usually you find it's less than 0.01% out. It might be more, it might be less, but if you're within that realm, you could essentially adjust the audio speed to match so that it is synced up at the end. And then usually that covers most of it. You'll usually find, because of some dropped frames and some dropped audio, like blips within the recording, there might be some sections you still have to go in and manually cut and move so that they're in sync with the video. But that is something that's going to get you most of the way. And a lot of the programs do have an ability to adjust for the pitch shift, because remember, as you adjust speed on something, you end up getting a bit of a pitch shift. But the thing is, if it's less than 0.01 either up either direction, you won't usually hear much of a difference. So you don't maybe need to do that. So those are your kind of two options. I've done both. I'll be honest, if you're manually doing it, it is a pain. I was doing that up until about a month ago, and it gives you a headache. It's like, we do an hour-long podcast on both of them. It took me probably 2 hours of syncing, because what happens is every recorder is a little bit different, and sometimes my track might fall behind while SP's track is falling ahead. So very, very different, and it is quite complicated, but doable. I do it. You can do it. Everybody could theoretically do it. You may not want to, though. So that's the bulk of it. And then we talked a little bit about it last week, which was, you also, if you use an audio software, maybe you use Audacity, maybe you use Audition, maybe you use any of these other pieces of software, you're probably used to applying certain post-processing, maybe a noise removal, maybe some EQ, maybe GMAX. There's some different things that you do. Usually your video software does not have that. So what you probably have to do, and this is where it gets super complicated, once you have it all lined up in your video software, you'll probably have to go and export the audio and bring it into your audio software, process it, save it, and then bring it back in. I don't want to go any further than saying that, just because it is such a technical episode. And if you have questions on that, email me. But essentially, you have to round trip the audio out of your video software to your audio editing software and then back to your video editing software, so it's processing. So you can do it, but it's complicated. So obviously we do that here. My recommendation for you, if you're thinking about doing a video companion and you get yourself a really decent computer or a decent computer and a decent connection, if you're already using Skype or Hangouts on Air or Blab Audio, don't local track. Don't local track. Stop where I said to stop. And use the built-in XSplit audio, because that's going to be as good as you're using already. If you're just ripping Hangouts on Air audio now, but you want to take your video to the next level, just do that. Use the XSplit recording, and it's going to save you a hell of a lot of time, because right now, it's essentially what you're getting.
Right. So I do that, and on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune, if I have to bleep somebody, I have to pull the audio out. I have to bleep them or cut out the swear word or whatever, and then throw it and sync the audio back in. And so the Blab sound and the Hangouts on Air sound are pretty good. They're combined, so you can't separate anybody, but they're pretty good as it is. So if that's what you're using, go ahead. I actually like to take out the over talking. I like to take out keystrokes. I like to take out trains, woo woo, that go by. And that does happen on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you've listened to it, you know the live recording. And so I take that out. So I will emphasize this again. In order to do video, you have to have a good processor. You have to have good bandwidth. We talked about it last week, and it is just something that you're going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing that I want to touch on is the hardware specs, because I do think that is very, very important here to talk about. When you do video, your draw on your computer exponentially goes up. So when we do this podcast, I hover somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60% CPU usage. Now, that is using an Intel i7-4790, which is a very modern processor. When I do the Gunna Geek with four different people, I hover somewhere in the neighborhood of 65-75% CPU, and I have a pretty decent video card. So the video card is another thing you're going to need pretty good of, but maybe you do it already. Maybe you're a gamer. If you're a gamer, you might have a better machine than I do. There's a very good chance of that, more than likely. So you might be set for it already, and then you're just a matter of getting XSplit and some extra, maybe a sound mixer or something like that. You might be like 50-60% of the way there already, or maybe more. So it is doable. It's just very complicated, as we've emphasized today. Now, why do I do that? I said it before. I love video, and I really, really like the product that we get. It's fun for me. I enjoy being able to just switch and do whatever I want to do. And go over, I'm sitting here hammering on the switch, realizing I'm hitting the wrong button. But I like to be able to put out a little bit better video show than you would get on Hangouts on Air or Blab. But you could maybe do a little bit of a mix of the two, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that next week.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. I'm sure we filled everybody's brain up right now. They're like, oh, I can't take anymore. And like you said before, Stephen, if you have a question, please don't hesitate to get back with us. And by the way, we probably have something to talk about this week, don't we?
For sure. We do. Should we talk about that in a sec here?
Yeah, let's go do it.
Maybe we should do Better Podcasting Download first.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Alrighty, so in this week's Better Podcasting Download, SP has dug up a very, very interesting article, I would say.
Yeah, on January 4th, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Henn posted an article, quote unquote, "Why I Left NPR." Now, I don't want to get into the political ramifications of that or anything, but there was some interesting information that was given in the article. First of all, the graph that is in the article says declines in listening to Morning Edition among all ages under 65. And before I go any further, Stephen Henn actually was a contributor for technology for NPR and Planet Money. So that's what he's talking about. So the graph is, since 2010, all age groups under 55, so 55 and under, and the graph goes from age 12 to 55, so 20% have dropped for listening to this show or these shows or whatever. So he's like, whoa, this is not insignificant. That's 20% of our audience. That's 20% of the people that we're marketing to that are no longer being marketed to. And he doesn't specifically come out and say it, but I'm going to say it. Podcasts have been ramping up 2% per year since it began. And this is obviously having an effect in the radio realm. And if you do want to reach a broader audience, if you want to possibly make some money, now we don't advocate that on Better Podcasting, we're hobby podcasters, but if that is your goal, this is something that could be obtainable. And some of these numbers are just atrocious. Like the prime, in my opinion, the prime age group that would be prime earners that you would want to market to, the coveted 35 through 44 realm, it starts out in 2010 at about 275,000 listeners. By the spring of 2015, it was down to 200. It lost 75,000 people in a prime advertising target. So, yes, you're talking. I have dropped out of radio almost completely. I listen to podcasts in the car. I hate ads. If you listen to radio, you're listening to ads left, right, and backwards. You're lucky in an hour of radio if you get 20 to 22 minutes of content. And that is not an exaggeration, because you have news reports, you have commercials, you have little plugs that you put in here and there. On podcasts, if you're listening to an hour of podcast, you're going to get close to an hour of content. And that is why I did that. And there's also another reason. Radio has been broadcast to the masses, so it's got to appeal to the masses. Podcasts can get as niche as you want. At the time that I started listening to podcasts, I wanted to listen to some people talk about the television show Battlestar Galactica. So podcasts started in about 2004, and Battlestar Galactica started in 2004. By the time I got my iPod Pod Nano, 2 gigabytes or whatever it was. It was 2007, and so podcasts were just starting to ramp up in niches like that. And even today on satellite radio, you can't find a show that talks about sci-fi prime time. So I wanted to listen to it on my way back and forth to work. So that's what I did. And tons of people apparently are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting when you found this, because it really does show the sort of shift that we've got in the audio medium right now. Like, for a while there, everybody thought that satellite radio was the next big thing because it was commercial free. I don't think people realized how much people enjoy talk and the podcasting nature, because podcasting is really, in a lot of ways, it's a lot more real to me than it is on the radio or something else. Like, I don't know. I just find, like, if I want to go find a couple of guys talking about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, I can do that really easily, right? Like, and I know it's authentic because they're doing it because they enjoy the subject, right? So I think that this is very, very interesting to see and very supportive of this sort of shift that we've been seeing in or hearing about in recent years.
Well, Stephen, I will say, if you are looking for a couple of guys podcasting on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you'll have to go outside the Gunna Geek Network, because there's only one guy on our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, which is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that would be me. All the rest of the participants are women. Just pointing that out, sir.
I use the term guys in a horrible, horrible generalization fashion. So just go ahead, email me, Stephen@betterpodcasting.com. But... no, thank you very much for digging this up, SP. I think it's a really good thing to talk about. And audio listener, we would absolutely love to know what you have to say about this. So please give us an email, go to betterpodcasting.com, and you can write us, comment on the latest episode, whatever. Please just get in touch with us and tell us what you think about this.
Looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
All right, so hitting up the Better Pod back this week, we had another message from Brian Hurley. I feel like you need that now, Brian. You're a regular contributor to the Better Pod back section, so thank you very much. So Brian Hurley asked a little bit about web hosting. Now, web hosting is something that you might be thinking, but this is a podcasting podcast, right? Might be a lot closer than you think, because while you may have your own media host like Libsyn or Podbean or whatever, you might also want to set yourself up a website. So what are you going to do? Where are you going to do it? He was asking whether or not we had any recommendations. He'd mentioned a couple specific, and here's the thing. Web hosting, I've been doing a lot of web stuff a lot longer than I've even been podcasting, and the web hosting business is an interesting one for a couple of reasons. Number one, the offerings, while often similar, can vary on a lot of levels. For example, one host might have, they might all advertise it as, let's say an example, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage space, unlimited this, unlimited that. What you find is that there are certain resource caps. So you might find, as you start to get a certain percentage of traffic heading to your website, all of a sudden your website bogs down with one host when it wouldn't with another, because the caps are higher on the other host. The other thing is, funny enough, the web hosting business is often an acquisition business. There are a couple of big players, key players out there that own a variety of brands. You're going to go and you're going to do a search for web hosting, and you're going to find a ton of different brands that are all competing and saying why they're better than the rest. And if you start to dig, you'll find a lot of those brands are owned by the same companies. So my recommendation for you is go to a forum called Web Hosting Talk. That's going to be your best line of resources, because there are definitely sponsored categories where you can get discounts. I encourage you to go seek those out because you might as well save some money. But the second thing is there is a review forum. And as you start to dig through, you'll find a lot of really good information. You can search by a certain web host, like just put it in as a search term, and you're going to find a bunch of reviews, and you can start to see maybe there's a website that's going to do very similar to things than to what you do. And so that might be the way you want to go. There could just be a variety of different things. So I encourage you to go to Web Hosting Talk. Check that out. It is really the key player in discussions on web hosting. And you can actually even just post a question and people will respond.
Yeah, I have used a couple of mainstream hosting companies for my Voices of Defiance and for my BetterPodcastingGear.com websites. All the other podcasts I've elected to host, and Steven's been so gracious to allow that hosting on the GunnaGeek.com website. But for the ones that I've used, I had a hand-rolled HTML code website, which is Voices of Defiance, and then I had a WordPress website. And I'll tell you that definitely I would recommend WordPress, first of all. But second of all, I wish I would have done this research prior to going ahead and setting up these websites. Now, you can always transfer, right? But if you prepaid, it's like, well, maybe I'll just wait it out and see where it goes. But yes, doing this research beforehand is probably going, if you haven't gotten a web host already, is probably going to be in your best interests.
Yeah. And if you want to know the specific one that I want to use, just email me. I'll tell you. I have nothing to hide, you know, but it might not be what's best for you. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different site. But as SP said, you can transfer. So I just recommend, my recommendation always to people is, unless it's a really, really, really good deal where it's like money that you're, it's so cheap that you're willing to take a gamble on it, I always recommend, as enticing as it might be to do a year, get yourself a month. Start with a month if you can, or the minimum package, because as you get your site set up, you might find that all of a sudden you are running into issues, and it really sucks if you have 3 years prepaid and you have to transfer away. So that's usually my recommendation if you're not sure. But you know, it might be like, I know Black Friday deals, there's always things on there, and sometimes so cheap that you're just like, whatever, I'll just chance it. It's a hell of a deal for 3 years. If I lose it, I lose it. So use your discretion, but if you're really unsure, that's my recommendation, is start with the one month or the 3 month thing.
One final thing that I would like to say is that regardless of whether you choose to use web hosting, which is your own website, or you use the provided web page by your media host like Libsyn or Podbean or Blueberry, I would wholeheartedly encourage you to get your podcast domain of like betterpodcasting.com or gunnageek.com or legendsofshield.com or starlingtribune.com. Get those domains and then point them at wherever you are. Yes. So if you're using the Libsyn page, like I could point legendsofshield.com to my Libsyn webpage if I wanted to. Yep. I don't do that. It's pointed to GunnaGeek. But yes, you want that domain because you never know. Eventually down the road, you might want to do a web page on your own and you'll need that domain. Otherwise, somebody will scoop it from you. And that happens all the time. Even if you mention an idea of a domain on a podcast, your listeners are going to be like, oh, I'm going to get that. That sounds like really cool. And then they want to scoop it from you and do it themselves, or they want to try to sell it to you later at maybe a profit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So just warning you, don't ever say a web domain on the air unless you actually own it.
Exactly. Exactly. But that is going to go ahead and take us to the end of Better Podcasting 16. Before we do close, I just want to go over something that SP and I touched on last week. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but SP was talking about statistics. And we've talked about reasons why you might want to look into them. And I just want to say that this past week, SP's statistics helped me find something very interesting about the GunnaGeek site. And I wouldn't have noticed it if it wasn't for SP looking at his statistics. So while you don't want to obsess, it can sometimes
give
you
10 minutes.
Exactly.
No.
Sometimes it can provide you some very valuable information. And I just wanted to, on the podcast, say thank you very much for that, SP.
You bet. For a guy that obsesses about stats about once a day, thank you very much.
All righty. So that is going to take us towards the end of episode 16. But before we do, there's one last thing that SP is going to cover.
So, yes, absolutely. There is one more thing we need to cover today. And that is on March 18th at Chicago at the C2E2 convention. Myself will be hosting a podcast panel about everyday podcasting, but I won't be hosting it. I will just be a panelist.
What?
Yeah, I know. The Better Podcasting host is actually going to not host the panel. It's going to be Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy and Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy. Nerd Alert News and Gonna Geek is going to be there as well. Cody Goff. Yes, I just did say Cody Goff.
And Cody that is from Goff.
Goff from Game Life Balance US is going to be there. And Willie from All Things Good and Nerdy is going to be there. We're going to have a stacked panel. And oh, they're right now, we are working on a surprise sixth panelist.
Ooh. You know, though, here's the thing, though, SP. I really appreciate your talking about it. I really wish that I could be there. You have me excited. I'm a little bit jealous. Well, I'm a lot jealous, but I'm really a little bit jealous that you don't have to host, because that's like the stressful duty. So congrats on that. But the thing that I would rather have than you talking about it would be a promo. That's what I personally would rather have, but I know you didn't prepare one.
You're so demanding. No, I did not. I did not prepare one. However, the host of the panel did. So here we go.
Hey, everybody. It's Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy. Want to learn more about networking and podcasting? Join me, Stargate Pioneer, Chris Farrell-Farrell, Cody Goff, and Willie Nelson at C2E2. We'll be having a panel in the workshop room. We'll be talking about podcasting for your everyday life, as well as the benefits of being on such an awesome network like Gunna Geek. Stay tuned, we'll have more details coming soon. We just wanted to let you know that we'll be there. Come high-five us and have a great time. See you later.
That's awesome. Awesome. Good job with that, Naki. I like that.
I did, Naki. That was great. I played it on all my podcasts last week, so that's awesome. But yeah, so we'll be there. Come see us. And if you're there with us live, you might actually get something that will help you with your podcasting.
I believe that's what we call a tease in the business, isn't
just
it?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Awesome. Well, I do really wish that I could be there, but a variety of circumstances prevent me from going. So I hope that you all have fun, and I cannot wait to hear what you guys have in store. So now I think we finally reached the end of episode 16.
Woohoo!
So for episode 16 of Better Podcasting, my name is Stephen John Drew, apologizing for all of the technical wordings and know-how and discussion we had today.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer. Can I have the keys, Dad? Can I have the keys, Dad? Can I have the keys, Dad?
No.
Aw.
Bye.
See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.